We have based our Doing Science Best series on Dr. Beth Morling's Research Methods in Psychology, 5th edition. We encourage you to purchase it for your bookshelf. If you teach research methods, consider adopting this best-of-class text for your classes. Dr. Beth Morling is a distinguished Fulbright scholar and was honored as the 2014 Professor of the Year by the Carnegie Foundation for the Advancement of Teaching. With more than 2 decades of experience as a researcher and professor of research methods, she is an internationally recognized expert and a passionate advocate for the research methods course. Morling's primary objective is to empower students to become discerning critical thinkers capable of evaluating research and claims presented in the media. In this post, we will explore a question addressed in Chapter 3. How do researchers interrogate causal claims? Causal claims are bold assertions, such as mindfulness reduces stress or video games improve cognition, that go beyond mere associations and attempt to establish a cause and effect relationship between 2 variables. We will explore the 3 essential criteria for causality: covariance, temporal precedence, and internal validity, as well as the importance of construct validity, statistical validity, and, in certain contexts, external validity. You'll learn how experiments are designed to meet these standards and how to identify when a causal claim is either well-supported or mistakenly inferred from a correlational study. Causal claims are the most demanding type of research claim because they assert that one variable causes changes in another. These are the kinds of claims that appear in statements like, "Playing video games improves reaction time," or "Regular meditation reduces anxiety." Unlike frequency or association claims, causal claims require researchers to demonstrate not only that 2 variables are related, but also that 1 variable brings about a change in the other. To evaluate the strength of a causal claim, we need to interrogate it using 3 of the 4 big validities: construct validity, statistical validity, and internal validity. External validity can also be important, but it is often considered less essential than internal validity when evaluating whether a causal conclusion is justified. To support a causal claim, a study must meet 3 essential criteria: covariance, temporal precedence, and internal validity. Covariance means that the 2 variables are related. Without this, there's no effect to explain. Temporal precedence means that the cause must come before the effect. For example, in order to claim that exercise reduces depression, participants must begin exercising before any reduction in depression is observed. Internal validity refers to the absence of alternative explanations for the relationship. Confounding variables must be ruled out. If people who exercise more also tend to have higher incomes, and higher income itself reduces depression, then income becomes a confound that weakens the internal validity of the exercise depression study. True experiments are the best method for establishing causality. In a true experiment, the researcher manipulates 1 variable, the independent variable, and measures its effect on another variable, the dependent variable. Participants are randomly assigned to different conditions, which helps control for 3rd variables and ensures that differences between groups are due to the manipulation and not to pre-existing differences. For example, in a study testing whether reading improves empathy, researchers could randomly assign participants to either read a novel or read nonfiction, and then measure their empathy levels afterward. If random assignment is done properly, and if the empathy measure is valid, any observed differences can be attributed to the reading material rather than to other factors. Internal validity is the hallmark of causal inference. If a study lacks internal validity, then any claim of causality is suspect. Common threats to internal validity include selection effects, when groups are not equivalent at the outset, confounds, when another variable changes in tandem with the independent variable, and order effects, when the sequence of conditions affects the outcome. Researchers employ a range of techniques to address these threats, including control groups, random assignment, counterbalancing, and blinding. The more thoroughly a study addresses these issues, the stronger its internal validity, and, consequently, the more confidently we can accept its causal conclusions. While internal validity takes priority in causal claims, construct validity and statistical validity remain important considerations. Construct validity ensures that the variables were measured and manipulated appropriately, so that the manipulation actually represents the intended concept and the outcome measure reflects what it's supposed to. Statistical validity ensures that the effect is not only real, but also strong enough to be meaningful and not just a fluke. If a study finds that a treatment significantly reduces anxiety, we must ask how large the reduction was and how precisely that effect was estimated. These concerns are especially important in clinical and applied settings, where the goal is not just to establish cause and effect, but to do so with real-world relevance. Interrogating causal claims means demanding strong evidence for a bold conclusion. By checking for covariance, temporal precedence, and internal validity, and by evaluating construct and statistical validity, we ensure that causal claims are based on rigorous, credible research. Not all studies are equipped to make causal claims, and when you see one, it's your job as a critical thinker to ask whether the study design justifies the conclusion. Only then can we have confidence that one variable truly causes changes in another. Three criteria for causation. To properly support a causal claim, researchers must meet three foundational criteria: covariance, temporal precedence, and internal validity. These are not arbitrary requirements. They are the core principles that allow scientists to determine whether one variable truly causes a change in another. Covariance refers to the presence of an association between two variables, whereas one variable changes, the other changes as well. If there's no covariance, there's no relationship to explain, and thus no basis for a causal claim. For example, if researchers claim that meditation reduces stress, there must be a measurable link showing that those who meditate exhibit different levels of stress than those who don't. Without a consistent association, the investigation comes to a halt. The second criterion, temporal precedence, requires that the cause happened before the effect. It's not enough to observe that two variables are linked. We must show that changes in the independent variable occurred prior to changes in the dependent variable. If we find that students who attend tutoring sessions have better exam scores, we must ensure that the tutoring occurred before the exams. If students started tutoring after performing poorly, then tutoring cannot be said to have caused the better scores. Establishing temporal order is crucial for progressing beyond correlation to a plausible causal narrative. The third and most demanding criterion is internal validity. This refers to the study's ability to eliminate alternative explanations. In other words, can we be sure that the change in the dependent variable was caused by the independent variable and not by some third factor? For instance, if a study finds that kids who eat breakfast score higher on tests, researchers must rule out other explanations, like socioeconomic status, which may influence both nutrition and academic achievement. Without controlling for confounding variables, the observed effect may be due to some other factor, making the causal claim unreliable. These three criteria work together. Covariance gets us started by establishing that a relationship exists between two variables. Temporal precedence begins to clarify which variable may be driving the change. Internal validity ensures the conclusion is accurate by ruling out other potential causes. If any one of these criteria is missing, the foundation for a causal claim crumbles. For example, a study might find that two variables are correlated and measured in the correct order, but if it didn't use random assignment or control for confounding variables, internal validity is lacking and the causal claim is weakened. Meeting all three criteria usually requires an experimental design, where researchers actively manipulate the independent variable and control as many extraneous variables as possible. Random assignment is one of the most effective tools for achieving internal validity. By randomly placing participants into treatment and control groups, researchers ensure that individual differences are evenly distributed and do not bias the results. This makes it more likely that observed changes in the dependent variable are due to the manipulation, not to outside factors. To claim that one variable causes another, researchers must demonstrate that the variables are associated, covariance, that the cause comes before the effect, temporal precedence, and that no plausible alternative explanations exist, internal validity. These three criteria are the gold standard for causal inference in psychological research. As you read studies or encounter claims in the media, always check whether these conditions have been met. If not, be cautious about accepting the conclusion as a true cause and effect relationship. Experiments can support causal claims. Experiments are the most powerful tool available to psychologists for making causal claims because they are uniquely designed to meet all three criteria for causation: covariance, temporal precedence, and internal validity. In an experiment, researchers manipulate one variable, known as the independent variable, and measure its effect on another variable, known as the dependent variable. This manipulation enables researchers to observe changes that occur directly as a result of the independent variable, thereby satisfying the requirement of covariance. For example, in a study testing whether playing nature sounds reduces stress, participants might be randomly assigned to listen to either nature sounds or white noise, and their stress levels are then measured. If the nature sounds group reports lower stress, and all else was held constant, the researchers can conclude that the sounds caused the change. One of the biggest advantages of experiments is their ability to establish temporal precedence. Because the manipulation of the independent variable happens before the measurement of the dependent variable, researchers can be confident about the order of events. In a non-experimental design, such as a correlational study, it's often unclear which variable came first. For instance, if we observe that people who journal daily also report less anxiety, we don't know whether journaling reduces anxiety or if people who are less anxious are more inclined to journal. An experiment, however, could randomly assign participants to a journaling or non-journaling condition and then track anxiety levels over time. Perhaps the most critical feature of experiments is their ability to establish internal validity. By using random assignment, researchers ensure that participants in each group are similar on average, so any differences in the outcome can be attributed to the manipulation rather than to pre-existing differences. Additionally, researchers can control extraneous variables factors that might otherwise confound the results by holding them constant or statistically adjusting for them. This level of control enables experiments to rule out alternative explanations and make stronger causal claims. Different types of experimental designs serve different research purposes. Between subjects, designs assign different participants to each condition, while within subjects, designs expose all participants to every condition. Each has advantages and disadvantages in terms of statistical power, control over confounds, and susceptibility to order effects. Researchers choose their design based on the nature of the research question and the practical constraints of the study. Regardless of the structure, the essential element is that the independent variable is manipulated and the outcome is measured systematically. While experiments provide the strongest evidence for causality, they are not always feasible or ethical. For example, researchers cannot randomly assign people to smoke cigarettes to study long-term health effects. In such cases, researchers may use quasi-experimental designs or longitudinal studies to gather suggestive evidence while acknowledging that full causal inference may not be possible. These limitations underscore the importance of aligning the research method with the claim being made and avoiding overstatement of results when the method cannot fully support causation. Experiments are the gold standard for testing causal hypotheses. They allow researchers to manipulate variables, establish the sequence of events, and control for alternative explanations. When well designed, an experiment provides strong evidence that changes in the independent variable lead to changes in the dependent variable. As a researcher, you should recognize experimental designs and understand how they contribute to the strength of a causal claim. This will help you critically evaluate psychological research and determine when a cause and effect conclusion is truly justified. When causal claims are a mistake, despite the clear criteria for establishing causality, causal claims are often made inappropriately in both academic and popular writing. These mistaken claims usually arise when researchers or communicators interpret a mere association as if it implies causation. For example, if a study finds that children who attend preschool have better vocabulary in first grade, a mistaken causal claim might be stated as, "Preschool boosts vocabulary." While this may sound reasonable, if the study employed a correlational design without random assignment, it cannot rule out other variables, such as parental involvement, socioeconomic status, or access to books, that could account for the difference in vocabulary. Without satisfying the three criteria for causation, such a claim is misleading. These mistakes are especially common in media headlines and summaries of psychological research. Journalists may write, "Teen smartphone use causes anxiety," based on a study that simply found a correlation between screen time and reported anxiety levels. This type of language suggests a cause and effect relationship, whereas the study's design only supports an association. Readers unfamiliar with research methodology might accept these claims at face value, unaware of the study's limitations. As students and consumers of research, it's crucial to recognize when causality is implied without justification and to trace the claim back to the original study's method section. Sometimes, even researchers can overstate their findings. They may begin with cautious language in the results section, stating an association, but then drift into causal language in the discussion or conclusion. This causal creep can occur unintentionally, especially when researchers are enthusiastic about the implications of their findings or seek to make their research appear more impactful. While such enthusiasm is understandable, overstating what the data support undermines scientific integrity and can lead to the development of misinformed policies or interventions based on insufficient evidence. In other cases, the confusion arises from ambiguous language. Phrases like linked to, related to, or associated with are generally appropriate for describing correlational findings. But phrases like leads to, results in, or enhances imply a directional, causal relationship. Being precise in language helps maintain the distinction between what a study shows and what it suggests. Psychology students, researchers, and writers alike should strive to match the strength of their conclusions to the design of their study. Otherwise, they risk misleading others, even unintentionally. Another common error is failing to acknowledge the presence of third variables, also known as confounds. Suppose researchers find that people who eat breakfast tend to be thinner. Without random assignment or control for lifestyle differences, it's possible that other variables, like exercise habits or socioeconomic status, explain the association. Without accounting for these possibilities, any causal statement is premature. Researchers must always consider whether other variables could be driving the observed effect, and readers should be skeptical of claims that ignore this possibility. To avoid being misled by mistaken causal claims, always return to the study design. Ask whether the researchers manipulated the independent variable, used random assignment, and ruled out alternative explanations. If not, the claim should be interpreted as indicating a correlation rather than a causal relationship. By recognizing and questioning improper causal language, you safeguard your own understanding and help promote more responsible scientific communication. Misinterpreting causality can lead to poor decision-making, wasted resources, or even harmful consequences, so learning to spot these mistakes is an essential part of becoming a scientifically literate thinker. Other validities to interrogate in causal claims. While internal validity takes center stage in evaluating causal claims, it is not the only validity that matters. Construct validity and statistical validity are also essential, and in many cases, external validity is worth considering, especially when the goal is to generalize findings to real-world populations. Construct validity addresses how well the independent and dependent variables are operationalized. For example, in an experiment testing whether mindfulness meditation reduces stress, researchers must clearly define what counts as mindfulness meditation and how stress is measured. If they use a vague or inappropriate stress measure, even a well-run experiment might produce questionable conclusions. Construct validity ensures that the manipulation and the measurement actually represent the intended concepts. Construct validity can be compromised if the independent variable isn't manipulated in a way that genuinely captures the conceptual idea. If participants are told to meditate without clear instructions or structure, they may interpret it in different ways, thereby weakening the manipulation. Similarly, the dependent variables such as stress should be assessed using a validated tool, such as the perceived stress scale or physiological indicators, like cortisol levels. Without strong construct validity, the entire causal chain becomes shaky. Even if internal validity is high, meaning alternative explanations are ruled out, we still need to know that what was manipulated and measured truly represents what the study claims to test. Statistical validity is also crucial for assessing causal claims. This refers to the extent to which the statistical conclusions are accurate, reliable, and not due to chance. Researchers should report p-values, effect sizes, and confidence intervals. A statistically significant result, typically p.05, suggests that the observed effect is unlikely due to chance, but that doesn't mean the effect is large or important. Effect size indicates the magnitude of the difference between groups. For example, even if meditation significantly reduces stress, we want to know whether it reduces stress a little or a lot. A small but statistically significant result may not be meaningful in practice, especially if the study was large and thus able to detect even tiny differences. Confidence intervals add nuance to statistical validity by indicating the range in which the true effect is likely to fall. Narrow intervals suggest precise estimates, while wide intervals indicate more uncertainty. Researchers must also consider statistical power, the likelihood of detecting an effect if one exists. Low-powered studies, often due to small sample sizes, risk type 2 errors, failing to find an effect that is actually there. Conversely, large samples might detect trivial effects that aren't practically important. Properly interpreting statistical findings helps ensure that causal claims are not only significant, but also meaningful and replicable. External validity, although not always the top priority in causal claims, becomes increasingly important when researchers aim to apply their findings to broader populations or real-world settings. For instance, if a study finds that cognitive behavioral therapy, CBT, reduces anxiety in college students, we must ask whether that finding generalizes to older adults, people in clinical settings, or individuals from different cultural backgrounds. Was the sample diverse? Was the intervention feasible outside the lab? Causal claims that lack external validity may be true in a specific context, but not applicable elsewhere. This limitation restricts the practical applicability of the research, particularly in applied psychology, healthcare, or education. When evaluating causal claims, internal validity is essential but not sufficient on its own. Construct validity ensures that the variables are well-defined and measured accurately. Statistical validity ensures the results are trustworthy and meaningful. External validity helps determine whether the findings can be applied more broadly. A strong causal claim stands on all four legs: construct, internal, statistical, and external validity. Neglecting any one of these can weaken the credibility of the study's conclusions. As a critical thinker, you should always interrogate the full range of validity before accepting a causal claim at face value. Construct validity of causal claims. Construct validity is a crucial consideration in causal claims because it ensures that the independent variable was manipulated in a way that truly reflects the intended construct and that the dependent variable was measured in a way that accurately captures the outcome of interest. In an experiment, we must ensure that the intervention or manipulation accurately represents the concept we intend it to. For instance, if researchers claim that positive reinforcement improves student motivation, we need to understand how they defined and delivered positive reinforcement. Was it verbal praise, extra credit, or stickers? If the manipulation isn't clearly aligned with the theoretical concept of reinforcement, then we can't trust that the study is really testing what it claims to be. For the dependent variable, the same logic applies. If student motivation is measured only by the number of homework assignments turned in, is that a valid proxy? Or could students be turning in assignments for reasons unrelated to motivation, like fear of punishment or parental pressure? Researchers should use multiple, validated measures when possible, such as self-report scales, teacher ratings, and behavioral observations, to build a more complete picture of the dependent construct. When the measures are vague or oversimplified, even a study with excellent internal validity can fail to provide meaningful results because it's unclear what was actually being manipulated and measured. Construct validity also requires consistency in implementation. If an intervention is delivered inconsistently across participants, or if participants interpret instructions differently, the construct being tested may be compromised. For example, if participants in a mindfulness condition are told to relax and focus on breathing, without a standardized script, they may each engage in different activities from meditating to daydreaming. Such variability makes it hard to know whether any observed effects are due to mindfulness, relaxation, or something else entirely. Careful training of experimenters, along with the use of scripts, manuals, or instructional videos, can help standardize the manipulation. Moreover, construct validity includes assessing whether the manipulation had the intended psychological effect. This is often done through manipulation checks, extra questions, or measures added to the study to confirm that participants experienced the manipulation as intended. For instance, in a study manipulating mood, participants might be asked afterward how they felt. If the mood manipulation failed to actually change participants' mood, then any results tied to the manipulation become difficult to interpret. Without manipulation checks, researchers risk assuming that a treatment worked as intended when it did not. In causal claims, it is especially important that the manipulation affects only the intended construct and not unintended side effects. If an intervention aimed at increasing focus also increases anxiety, it becomes unclear whether changes in performance are due to improved attention or heightened stress. This is known as a confounding of constructs, and it threatens construct validity. To avoid this, researchers must carefully pilot test their manipulations and use validated tools that target specific constructs while minimizing overlap with others. Construct validity in causal claims demands precision in how variables are defined, manipulated, and measured. Without clear alignment between conceptual definitions and their operational counterparts, even the most rigorous experimental design can yield misleading results. As an evaluator of research, you should always ask, did the study clearly define what it was testing? Were the independent and dependent variables measured using valid and reliable tools? Did the manipulation work the way the researchers intended? These questions ensure that causal claims are built on a solid conceptual foundation, not just on methodological rigor. External validity of causal claims. External validity refers to the extent to which the results of a study can be generalized beyond the specific sample and experimental conditions. For causal claims, external validity helps us understand whether an effect observed in a study would likely occur in other populations, settings, and times. While internal validity is prioritized in experiments to ensure a strong cause and effect conclusion, external validity becomes essential when researchers want to apply their findings in the real world. For example, if a study shows that a specific teaching method improves test performance among middle school students in Chicago, we must ask whether the same effect would occur in rural schools, among high schoolers, or in different cultural contexts. The first aspect of external validity to examine is the representativeness of the sample. Was the sample diverse in terms of age, ethnicity, socioeconomic status, and educational background? Or was it a homogeneous convenience sample, like undergraduate psychology students? If an experiment uses a narrow sample, we should exercise caution when generalizing the findings to broader populations. Ideally, researchers use stratified or random sampling methods that accurately reflect the population to which they want to generalize, although this is not always practical in experimental research. Nevertheless, detailed reporting of participant characteristics helps readers evaluate the generalizability of the findings. Another factor in external validity is the ecological realism of the setting and procedures. If an experiment is conducted in a tightly controlled laboratory, we should ask whether the same effect would occur in a more naturalistic environment. For instance, a study that finds group collaboration increases creativity in a lab task may not translate to workplace dynamics, where factors such as time pressure, hierarchy, and interpersonal relationships come into play. External validity improves when the experimental tasks closely resemble real-life activities, a concept known as mundane realism. The more a study's procedures match everyday experiences, the more confident we can be in its generalizability. Temporal generalization is another concern. Results obtained under specific historical or cultural conditions may not be applicable in the future or across different regions. For example, a study showing that video games enhance cognitive flexibility might have been accurate in 2015, but new technology, game design, or societal attitudes could influence outcomes today. Cultural shifts, technological advances, and global events all affect the relevance of psychological findings over time. Researchers must be transparent about when and where a study was conducted and consider how changes in context might influence external validity. External validity also depends on how broadly the independent and dependent variables are defined and operationalized. If an intervention uses a highly specific method like a unique mindfulness script delivered by a trained actor, it may be difficult to reproduce the same effect in other formats. Similarly, if the outcome measure is narrowly defined, the result may not generalize to other meaningful outcomes. Broader, more flexible definitions of variables may enhance generalizability, but they must still maintain construct validity. It's a balance between precision and applicability that researchers must navigate carefully. External validity plays a crucial role in determining whether the findings of an experiment can be applied beyond the laboratory. When evaluating causal claims, ask, was the sample representative of the population? Was the setting realistic? Would the effect likely hold in different populations or contexts? Has the study been replicated in other settings or at different times? Although internal validity is central to making causal inferences, external validity ensures that those inferences matter beyond the confines of the study. Recognizing this distinction helps you judge whether a causal claim has real-world relevance or whether it remains confined to a specific sample or situation. Statistical validity of causal claims. Statistical validity in the context of causal claims involves evaluating whether the statistical conclusions drawn from an experiment are accurate, meaningful, and likely to replicate. Just because a study finds a statistically significant difference between groups does not mean the result is practically important or robust. To evaluate statistical validity, we ask several key questions. Was the effect statistically significant? What was the effect size? How precise was the estimate? Was the sample size sufficient to detect the effect? These questions help determine whether the observed effect reflects a true causal relationship or could be due to chance, error, or exaggeration. The first step in assessing statistical validity is determining whether the study's result is statistically significant, typically reported with a p-value. A p-value less than 0.05 suggests that the observed difference between experimental groups is unlikely to have occurred by chance, assuming the null hypothesis is true. However, a significant p-value only tells us that the effect is likely to exist. It doesn't tell us how large or meaningful it is. That's where effect size comes in. Effect size quantifies the magnitude of the difference between two or more groups. For example, even if a study finds that a new teaching technique significantly improves test scores, the effect size will indicate whether that improvement is trivial or substantial. Precision also matters. Precision is typically represented by confidence intervals, which provide a range of values within which the true effect is likely to fall. Narrow confidence intervals indicate that the estimate is precise and that the data tightly cluster around the observed effect. Wide confidence intervals suggest more uncertainty and lower precision. For instance, if a study reports that a training program improves productivity by 5%, but the confidence interval ranges from minus 2% to 12%, that result is not very convincing. The true effect could be negative, positive, or negligible. In contrast, a confidence interval from 4% to 6% would indicate strong precision and greater trust in the reported effect. Sample size and power are also integral to statistical validity. Statistical power refers to the study's ability to detect an effect if one actually exists. Studies with small sample sizes tend to have low power, increasing the likelihood of type 2 errors failing to detect a true effect. Additionally, small samples can produce unstable estimates that vary widely from study to study. A study that claims a significant result with just 15 participants per group may be subject to skepticism, whereas a well-powered study with hundreds of participants can offer more reliable and generalizable results. Researchers should conduct a power analysis before collecting data to ensure their sample size is sufficient for detecting the expected effect. Researchers should also report whether they corrected for multiple comparisons. When multiple hypotheses are tested in the same study, the chance of a false positive increases. If researchers conduct many tests but only report the significant ones, this practice, sometimes referred to as p-hacking, inflates the likelihood of type 1 errors. A rigorous study will either limit the number of statistical tests conducted or use correction techniques, such as the Bonferroni correction, to adjust for multiple comparisons. Transparent reporting of all tests conducted, whether significant or not, is essential for maintaining statistical integrity. Statistical validity is a crucial component in evaluating causal claims. A statistically significant result is only the beginning. As a critical reader, you must look deeper. Is the effect size meaningful? Are the confidence intervals narrow and precise? Was the sample large enough to ensure sufficient power? Were appropriate statistical corrections made? Asking these questions helps you evaluate whether the study's statistical findings are credible, robust, and worthy of supporting a causal conclusion. In doing so, you strengthen your ability to interpret psychological research responsibly and effectively. Prioritizing validities. When evaluating a research study, it is rarely possible to maximize all four big validities constructs, external, statistical, and internal at once. Depending on the research goal, one validity criterion often takes priority over others. Understanding which validity matters most for a specific type of claim is crucial for both interpreting results and designing strong studies. For example, internal validity is the top priority when a researcher aims to support a causal claim. To convincingly claim that one variable causes another, the researcher must rule out confounding factors and establish temporal precedence and covariance. A tightly controlled laboratory experiment might achieve excellent internal validity, even if its sample lacks diversity or its measures are somewhat artificial. By contrast, when the goal is to make a frequency claim, such as reporting how common a behavior is in the population, external validity becomes paramount. The central question is whether the sample accurately represents the population of interest. If a researcher claims that 50% of high school seniors experience burnout, that number is meaningless unless the study used a representative sample and measured burnout with strong construct validity. Statistical validity is also essential in this context, particularly for determining confidence intervals and understanding margins of error. However, internal validity plays little to no role because frequency claims do not involve causal inference. Association claims strike a balance between statistical, construct, and external validity. A good association study must measure both variables well, construct validity, establish a statistically reliable and meaningful relationship, statistical validity, and ideally ensure that the association generalizes to other populations, external validity. Internal validity is not a central concern because association claims don't attempt to establish cause and effect. However, the line between correlation and causation is often blurred, especially in media summaries. For this reason, the other three validities become even more important to scrutinize when internal validity is absent. Sometimes researchers must make trade-offs between validities. For instance, maximizing internal validity might require random assignment in a highly controlled lab setting, which could limit external validity. On the other hand, conducting a study in a naturalistic environment to improve external validity might make it harder to control confounding variables, thereby reducing internal validity. These trade-offs are not necessarily weaknesses, but they must be acknowledged. Researchers should transparently explain their methodological choices and justify which validities they prioritized and why. As a consumer of research, you can use the four validities to guide your interpretation of findings. Ask yourself, what type of claim is this: frequency, association, or causal? Which validities are most relevant for that type of claim? Has the researcher provided evidence that supports the key validity or validities? For example, in an experimental study claiming that a new teaching method causes better learning, your first question should be about internal validity. Were participants randomly assigned? Were other teaching variables held constant? In a survey about national sleep habits, you should focus on external and construct validity. Was the sample representative of the population? Was sleep measured in a meaningful way? Prioritizing validities is about aligning your evaluation criteria with the researcher's claim. You don't need all four validities to be perfect in every study, but you should expect the key validities for that claim type to be strong. Whether you're reading journal articles, analyzing lab reports, or evaluating media headlines, this approach allows you to think critically and make informed judgments about the strength of psychological research. By learning to prioritize validity strategically, you strengthen your ability to evaluate evidence and participate responsibly in scientific discourse. Consumer skills interactive, variables, and claims. One of the best ways to reinforce your understanding of research design and claim evaluation is to practice identifying variables and classifying claims. When you encounter a headline, a journal abstract, or even a conversation about psychology, you can immediately start analyzing. What variables are being discussed? Are they measured or manipulated? Is the statement making a frequency, association, or causal claim? This type of real-time interrogation enhances your ability to apply research literacy beyond the classroom and into everyday life. For example, consider the headline, "High School Students Who Use Planners Get Better Grades." First, identify the two variables planner use and grades. Both are likely measured, not manipulated, meaning this is an association claim, not a causal one. As you interact with studies, ask whether each variable is categorical or quantitative. If a study examines the relationship between gender and self-esteem, gender is typically categorized, e.g., male, female, non-binary, and self-esteem is likely measured quantitatively, e.g., a score on a scale. This helps you anticipate the kind of analysis the researchers might have used and interpret results more accurately. Understanding variable types also helps you think about measurement. How were these variables operationalized? Are the tools valid and reliable? Practicing variable classification sharpens your attention to detail and deepens your conceptual understanding of how research questions are answered. You can also practice drawing scatter plots or diagrams of the relationships described in association claims. This helps you visualize the strength and direction of a correlation, encouraging you to consider the possibility of third variables or alternative explanations. For instance, if students who eat breakfast score better on tests, could socioeconomic status or parental involvement be the underlying factor? Recognizing potential confounds prepares you to question internal validity, even when a study does not explicitly make a causal claim. Reviewing claim language in real-world sources is another useful skill. Phrases like linked to, associated with, and related to are appropriate for describing associations. But phrases like leads to, improves, or causes should raise a red flag unless the evidence comes from a true experiment. Practicing how to revise overly strong causal language into accurate association claims helps you stay grounded in the evidence and communicate research findings more responsibly. You can do this exercise with news stories, academic abstracts, or social media posts that reference psychological research. It's also valuable to explain your reasoning aloud or in writing. When you identify a claim as causal, explain how you noted the study involved manipulation and random assignment. If you label a variable as measured, describe how it was measured and whether you think the measure had strong construct validity. Teaching someone else how to distinguish claim types or assess validity is one of the most effective ways to solidify your own understanding. Peer discussion, study groups, or even personal reflection journals can help make these skills second nature. Developing your consumer skills involves more than memorizing definitions. It requires repeated practice applying these concepts to real examples. By actively identifying variables, evaluating claim types, visualizing data relationships, and interrogating study validity, you become not only a better student, but a more informed citizen. In a world flooded with data and competing claims, these interactive skills give you the tools to think clearly, communicate responsibly, and make evidence-based decisions grounded in psychological science. Summary: causal claims represent the most ambitious type of scientific assertion, aiming to demonstrate that one variable directly influences another. To justify such a claim, researchers must establish that the variables covary, that the cause precedes the effect, and that alternative explanations have been ruled out, thus ensuring internal validity. The gold standard for supporting causal claims is the true experiment, characterized by manipulation of the independent variable and random assignment to conditions. These design features enable the isolation of the causal mechanism and minimize the influence of confounding variables. However, internal validity alone is not enough. The strength of a causal claim also depends on how well the variables were defined and measured, construct validity. Whether the statistical conclusions are accurate and meaningful, statistical validity, and when generalization is a goal, whether the findings can be applied to other people and settings, external validity. Misleading causal language is prevalent in both media and academic summaries, making it essential to develop the skills to evaluate causal claims for research literacy critically. By systematically applying the tools of validity evaluation, students become better readers, thinkers, and communicators of psychological science.